So today we're going to continue our series on We Are the Church. And today we're going to be talking about fighting for unity. This idea of unity, when everything else is splitting apart, when everything else is becoming individualistic and everything else is dividing and opinions here and opinions there. And even the church is so divided in so many different ways. The Lord says, I need you to fight for unity. And that's what we're going to look at today. So I want us to pray before we jump into it and just ask the Spirit to breathe life in all that we would say and do. So Lord, I just thank you for every person. I pray your Holy Spirit upon every person, life, life, life in Jesus' name. And I pray you would breathe life into this word in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So today we're talking about fighting for unity. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 4 down to verse 3 from verse 1. We are a community that's fighting for unity. It says this, Paul speaking as a prisoner of Christ. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead or plead you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. There is an anointing and a calling on each one of our lives. We've got to know that. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle, not always easy. Be patient with each other, make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Wow. It's a love thing. There's a love that's been deposited in us. There's a love that covers our multitude of sin. We were won by love. We were won to love. And we are now found in love. Unadulterated, pure God love. Wow. And notice this, verse 3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, abiding yourself together with peace. In other words, make every effort to stay united, to stay in unity. Wow. We don't see an awful lot of this. We don't. I think the only times we get a real glimpse of unity on earth is a family or a sports team or some sort of collection of people that have a common goal and a common purpose. And when it comes together, it's almost magical, isn't it? It's almost unstoppable. It's almost like heaven on earth. It's just so special. It's so unique. You're like, wow. And the Lord says we are to fight for unity because we are the men and women of unity if we put our trust in God. And it's one of these why moments where we say to ourselves, I need to fight for this thing. I need to go after unity in a world that is all about me, myself, and I. Lord, I'm going to fight for unity. And of course, the Lord loves unity. So why do we fight? Or who do we fight? Is maybe the better question. Who do we fight? Well, I don't think we fight each other. But yet it seems so easy to fight each other, doesn't it? Even Christians. Like she shouldn't have said this. Like he did that. He looked at me funny. She looked at me funny. Did you see the tone that they spoke to me in? If we're looking for a fight, you're going to find it everywhere. But there's something about whenever you get in this presence and the love just starts to rise up, you start to smile when something funny happens. You ignore in a positive way. You overlook something that you know was said in a bit of a mean tone or there was a bit of an edge to it because you're just so topped up with love, you just go, I'm not looking for a fight. Or you might even just say this, I'm not falling for that, or I'm not taking the bait. Because what a fight wants to do, or what someone wants to do when there is that sort of attitude or tone going, they're looking for the fight. They're looking for a response. And it's just too easy to react. It's just too easy to drop in. It's just too easy to respond. And I believe as Christians, we need to take a pause, a break, and resist that immediate urge to go, ah! You know, whether it be angry or I will tell you or I'm going to put you straight, somewhere along the line, we've got to resist for the sake of Christ. Because as the word says, we're to make every effort. We must resist initial responses and negative emotions. We don't have to run with it. We don't have to go with it. And I know how easy it is at times, but maturity leads us to resist. Maturity leads us to pause. Maturity leads us to like, I'll come back to you on that because I want to see and think and just get a minute before I react. And so my question today, as we're kind of getting into this, and you can see where we're kind of going, we're going to go after our own hearts. I want us to think about this question. How do we make every effort to keep united? How do we do it? I wrote down just a few things. Maybe it's as simple as a phone call because it's a friendship that's starting to dwindle, or it's a friendship that's got distance, or it's a relationship that just needs a fresh call. And isn't it amazing that one call, even though there might have been a long time in between, you get over that initial kind of 30 seconds or a minute or whatever someone goes, you know, that phone call, you're so hard to get and you're like, was I really? Or, you know, you're always so busy and it's just the person projecting. And you go, yeah, I know, sorry. You know, maybe you got to do it like that. But then you get into this conversation and it begins to reestablish a relationship. Sometimes it's a phone call, sometimes it's a meetup, sometimes it's prayer with or for that other person, even though you can't get with them. Maybe it's forgiveness, maybe it's a letting go, or maybe it's about keeping the main thing, despite what's happened or been before. You know, sometimes our issues are small and minor, but they become big things over time. Sometimes our issues are big, but we just simply can't let them go. And God says, I need you to deal with your issues for the sake of unity, making every effort to stay united, fighting for it with tooth and nail to be united. Imagine that motivation just for a moment, because a lot of the times we fight tooth and nail to protect ourselves, to protect another person, but it ends up being at the expense of someone else or some other side or some other family or some other group. And God says, for the sake of unity, make every effort, fight for it. Don't fight them, but fight for it. We might have some things to move. We might have some compensations to make, but it will be worth it because you got to fight for it. Now, here's what I love about Jesus is that he's already created unity. He just says, you got to maintain it. You got to look after it. You got to fight for this thing because it's already been there. Or maybe it's some personal stuff, dealing with our own frustrations and issues. A lot of times it's not the issue or frustration that the other person seems to carry or make or seem to do. It's about a reaction in us. It's about a frustration in us. And again, a better us gets a better response. Do the work. Do the work on ourselves spiritually. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Gathering as the body. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as we're meant to be united. We are united. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. And I know I wasn't feeling church last week. And I know I'm not feeling it this week in the sense of gathering or Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever night you gather with the body of Christ. But for the sake of unity, I will make every effort. Imagine that just for a moment. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't really like the songs. I didn't really like what was going on. But for the sake of unity, I will make every effort. I wonder what that would look like when it comes to our lives. We might end up making more occasions. We might pray for more people. We might be at more services because we realize it's for something greater than ourselves. It's for the unity of the body. Wow. This is where the Lord's taking us. Not giving in to gossip. Trust instead of suspicion. Letting go of things when it'd be easier to keep them, grudges, all of those good things that make us feel better in the moment, but do not lead to more unity. They lead to more division. And a lot of the times, the byproduct of unity or lack of unity is division. A division that sometimes is very healthy. We divide into teams to get things done. We divide into different families. It's healthy. It's good. We divide ourselves off from someone else to get married. We divide ourselves from this. But then there comes that division when it's unhealthy, when we are pulling ourselves apart when really we should be united. And the goal of the Spirit and the goal of the body of Christ is to stay united. Remember, we're not looking to get united. We are united. And all we're really doing when we don't fight for unity is start to pull ourselves apart. We start to pull ourselves apart. We're not fighting to get united. We have been united through Christ. We are fighting to stay united because everyone in this world wants to divide us, wants to pull us apart. Did you see her? Do you not think there's a better offer over here? I mean, just leave that, get an upgrade. I mean, there's just so many things out there that want to grab our attention and get us off the somewhere else. But if we don't fight for unity, we can find ourselves in division. So let's look at a few things today. Number one, unity is hard work. Come on. This is so true, isn't it? Unity is hard work. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. It's going to cost you at times. In fact, maybe all the time. It's going to get you out of your comfort zones. It's going to get you forgiving people you don't want to forgive. It's going to cause you to move in atmospheres and areas you don't want to be in. You know, those environments, I don't want to go, you know, like that thing. I don't want to do it. No, I don't. But for the sake of unity, I'm making every effort. Maybe we've got a few responses like this. You drive me crazy and I can't handle it. And I don't mean in love. I mean, just making me mad. And I just want to be away from you. I'm right, you're wrong. You know, we got this challenge going on. I'm done with you or I'm going to ignore it. You know, the silent treatment. Like, you're not going to get me to like speak out against you, but I'll just simply ignore it. But for the sake of unity, we confront those issues in love. For the sake of unity, we make every effort to keep the bond of peace. Remember that. It's the bond of peace. The only thing that holds us together is the peace of Jesus. He is our Prince of Peace. So we fight for unity, encompassing it with the bonds of peace. We are enchained to peace. Wow. Enchained to be peacemakers, peacekeepers. We are people that will keep the peace, make the peace. We are people that will fight for unity because that's who God has called us to be. As Christians, daily, our job is to fight for unity, staying united in peace. We'll just keep mentioning this over and over and over again because it is so vital. And then number two, unity is worth it. See, what caused our unity or what caused our disunity or separation was sin, of course, from the Garden of Eden all right through to today. The goal of sin is to separate. The goal of sin is to reject you. The love of the Father unites you and accepts you. Isn't that so good? We need to get this better because if we do, then the last thing we'll ever want to do is cause division. We will fight for unity tooth and nail because we realize the power and the magnitude of it. We realize the cost of it. We realize the importance of it. We realize that love's at stake for it. Unity is at the center of love. Matthew 12:25 says this, but Jesus knew their thoughts. And he mentioned this to his disciples and his friends at the time, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. That's the same with friends divided against themselves, destruction both sides. Family, destruction every side if we start to divide in each other. Church, have you ever seen a church that got divided? Wow. It's just a waste zone. It's just a place of hurt. It's a place of lack of healing. It's a place of lack of forgiveness. It's a place of lack of love and grace and mercy. It becomes the very antithesis of what God had created, a house of prayer, a house of forgiveness, a house of praise, a house of love. It just becomes a waste zone, a waste zone. And to try to get that unity back, it usually requires death. It usually requires death, and things have to die, and things get lost for hopefully some life to spring back up again. Anytime that division gets in there, it ultimately leads to death. Division brings down the whole house. I want you to get this in your heart today. We are the body of Christ. When we begin to divide against other people, we begin to gossip against each other, when we begin to compete against each other, when we begin to decide not to fight for unity, when we decide to forsake unity, we are bringing down the whole house. Doesn't matter if it's a business, doesn't matter if it's a family, doesn't matter if it's a relationship, doesn't matter if it's a church, the body of Christ. We are bringing the whole thing down, which means you're bringing your own destruction. We've got to know the truth. Otherwise, we will lie to ourselves or be lied to, and we will believe that lie, which means it becomes a truth. And we start to accept it, and we can't figure out why we're reaping the rewards we are reaping. We will bear the fruit from the source in which we live in. And I want to live in the source of Jesus, who's the one who brings unity, love, forgiveness, freedom. That's what we need. Division in the body destroys the church. There is no other outcome than destruction. But Jesus is the answer. And Jesus unites and completes. You see, unity is absolutely essential because we are the body of Christ. It's fundamental, isn't it? It's fundamental. If we're going to be a body, if we're going to be a team, we got to stick together. If we don't stick together, then fundamentally, we're not a team. We're just individuals. And any church that's not a team, that's not a body, that's not that sticky family like God designed, becomes individuals. And it's hard for the Lord to work there. It's hard for miracles to work there. It'll be hard for joy to rise. It will be hard for love to rise. It will be hard for revival to take place in that place. In fact, it will be the least common thing that you will find. But when unity begins to spring up, even if it's been horrible before, even if there's been desolation before, unity comes like a fresh bud of life in the midst of a desolate place. Unity comes like a drop of water in a stream that's had no water for years. Unity comes like Noah's Ark. It brings life and salvation when you thought there was none left. There is unity brings life when we start to stick together. We need to be serious about it. Seriously. Come on, unity. We got to be serious about it. 1 Corinthians 12:20 says that, 27 says this, now you are the body of Christ. It's not a debate. It's not an option. It's not something you should think about. It is you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. If that's the case, then unity is not optional. It's not a debate. It's not even a command. It's your whole identity. It's just what we do. It is who we are. So don't kill yourself or anybody else. Let's fight for unity. Selfishness and me. Wow. Ever been selfish before? Come on. Ever been selfish or ever thought about me above anybody else? I mean, it just loves to break unity. All of those things do. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Isn't this sometimes where it all goes wrong? When we're like, she's not as good as me. He's not as good as me. Man, I'm not being recognized. But if I was, this thing's just going to take off. And what we're doing is, it's this kind of twisted, kind of false humility, confidence over ego thing. And it's just not right. Because it's not about them going down for me to go up. It's about I am them and they are me. We are together in this thing. We are the body of Christ. And so Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Wow, where does that hit you? It hits me in the heart. Why am I doing this church thing? Why am I doing my business thing? Why am I trying to get money? I mean, what is the goal of my life? Is it for ambition or is it not out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? But rather, humility. It means to go low. Value? Wow, value others above myself. As a body, we can't focus alone. I'm not saying you can't have some attention on yourself. I'm not saying you can't have some focus on yourself and you can't do some things because the Lord says, I give you the desires of your heart, but it will always be in harmony with the rest of the body. He says this, as a body, we can't focus alone on our own needs or my desires or my ambitions. Otherwise, we risk our unity. And here's the delicate balance. God's given you the desires of your heart, and of course he wants you to go after them. But there's something that we have to look at when it comes to our brothers and sisters. As Paul said, not everything for me is illegal or sinful, but not everything is profitable. And there's just something about that attitude that Paul had in that New Testament where he said, you know, if it causes another brother or sister to stumble, I get rid of it. I cut my arm off for that. You know, if it causes another brother or sister to stumble, even though it's okay for me, I decide not to do it. And this is such an important, valuable lesson for us to learn as the body of Christ, because for many of us, we've just decided, hey, you know, it's just me. I'm not hurting anyone. I'll just do my thing. And there's nothing really sinful about it, but the attitude and keeping it suggests that you're prepared to allow a brother or sister to stumble because it just meets one of your needs. And God says, I don't want anything to meet one of your needs. I only want me to meet your needs so that you're free to cut away, get rid of, do without if needs be. Because for the sake of your brothers and sisters, you're going to make every effort to keep unity. You see, now we're going low, we're going deep into this thing, and we're going to heart issues. Because for some of these things in our mind, we've just said, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm just doing it for me. And even in that statement, it sounds selfish, doesn't it? You know, like, or like, I'm not willing to accept that it will cause another brother or sister to stumble. It's no big deal to me. Even the attitude of that statement suggests there's some sort of selfishness or vain conceit going on. And yet Paul urges us, and he says, I appeal to you above all else, make every effort. I urge you, I appeal to you, fight for unity. Fight for it and protect the bonds of peace that surround you. See, otherwise we risk competing against ourselves. And counseling someone else means we counsel ourselves. And we end up with a mess and dysfunction. We see too much of this. Our world is in a mess. Businesses are in dysfunction. Relationships are in dysfunction. And it all begins with this attitude, this idea of, I want to put me in front of you. It starts off small. It never starts off big. Not a lot of the times. A lot of times it just starts off small. I just need this. You don't understand, but I just need this for me. Like, what? I mean, I'm to crucify the flesh every single day, the word says. That's my path to success. That's my call to victory. That's the way to live for Jesus. I mean, there's a whole lot of things I need, but guess what? I'm willing to surrender because I may not need them once I surrender. I might find as a dead man or a dead woman, I don't need those things. And he will supply all my needs. But God has created unity for us to keep. This is the heart of the Father. Number three, unity requires commitment. Oh my gosh, commitment. Come on, this is a word that sometimes we don't even want to know how to spell. This is a commitment. No. I'm not looking to get married because I couldn't handle the commitment. I'm not looking, somebody said to me recently, I would join a team, but I don't want to overcommit. I'm like, that's kind of the idea of joining a team. You know, what's going on with commitment with you? What's going on? And it's that fear of, if I commit, maybe I lose too much of me, or maybe I let you down, or maybe I let myself down, or maybe if I commit to you, I won't have the capacity to make the commitment to somebody else because there's maybe something better coming. It's that fear of the grass is greener on the other side. It's that lie that says there could be better for me, so I don't really want to commit. It can be fear and insecurity, or it could be I think I'm worth more and you're probably not it. And all of those scenarios are usually to do with relationships, whether it be marriage or a friendship. Be mindful of that. You see, God talks about covenants, but our world talks about contracts. I want us to think about this just for a moment. A contract is one of those things where, you know what it's like, you get it, pull out a new phone and they sign you into a contract so that you can get the phone today because you maybe don't have the money, but the contract will mean they'll get the money in the long run and they get to make a sale. A contract's this arrangement. It's transactional. It's cold. It's hard. There are times where the contract gets broken on both sides. It's meant to add some sort of a promise, but it's not really a true promise. It's contrived. You know what I'm saying? It's there for a season or for a purpose, but ultimately you know you will either leave the contract or break the contract, or the other person will do it on you. But a covenant is a godly thing. A covenant is a promise, isn't it? You know, God said, I made a covenant with my people. I'll never again wipe out the earth like I did in the days of Noah. I've made a covenant with my people. He made a blood covenant with his people on the earth. In fact, Jesus came and he came into the New Testament to make a new covenant, to come and give us a new covenant based and formed in love. And he said, this time, I will die in your place. The God of the universe himself, who created us in his likeness, realized that there is no other way but to die himself. And he surrendered on the cross for us. What did he do? He created a covenant. He said, for me, there is no way back. For me, I'm all in. The cross was the ultimate covenant between God and man that says, I am all in on this thing. There's no second chances for me. There's nobody else for me. There's no get out of jail for me. There will be no escape from this thing. With love, I go into this thing. With joy, I go into this thing. Remember Jesus said, for the joy set before him, for the covenant he decided, for the love commitment that he decided to make, it was joyful for him to lay himself down. Wow. Love is incredible. Covenant is incredible. Be mindful that when it comes to commitment and when it comes to unity, the real reason that we're not willing to fight for unity is because we made a contract instead of a covenant. Wow. Wow. Isn't this why so many couples do not want to get married? Because they're worried of the risk of commitment and the covenant. They'd rather just have a contract. And contracts are no good for relationships. Contracts can be used for certain things, but they're not great for relationships, are they? I don't want to have a contract with you when it comes to having a relationship. I want to have a covenant relationship. I want to be a love-based relationship. I want it to be a promise-based relationship, a promise-love relationship based on Christ. Contracts, you get them with Sky, you get them with broadband, you get them with phone, but you don't do them with people. Come on, we don't do contracts with each other. Contracts are designed to be broken. They're cold. They're heartless. They're transactional. If I get a better deal, I am off. You know, this is what we do with contracts. But God loves covenant. An agreement based in love. I'm all in. I won't consider anyone else. I'm yours. It's a God idea. It's a coming together. And watch this. It's about oneness. And the heart of unity is always about oneness. And if the enemy or life or anybody else can break your oneness or get you to just for a moment pull apart, the crack is there and suddenly you are no longer one. You are divided. And division destroys things. It really, really does. Once that tiny crack appears in a relationship, and sometimes it's just to do with mistrust. Sometimes it's something you did and you shouldn't have done it. Sometimes it's a statement that you made and you shouldn't have said it. Sometimes it's an action that you have taken that you should not have taken. And it creates this tiny sliver of a crack. It creates this tiny crack in the midst of your oneness. And what happens? Suddenly, it almost seems inevitable. You begin to separate. And now what should have been one whole now becomes two parts. This is what happened with Adam and Eve, wasn't it? I mean, God designed to pull them apart in love, but they would still be united in covenant. And then sin came in, and what did it do? It pulled them apart in every way. It pulled them apart with their shame. It pulled them apart with their view of themselves, with their view of each other, with blame, with it was her fault, it was their fault. It pulled them together so there was no way to even come back. It became this thing that was uncontrollable. And yet the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, was able to unite what seemed impossible. I want to say this to you today, that maybe some things in your life you believe are impossible, and maybe for you, you believe unity is impossible. I want to tell you that there is nothing impossible for God. Amen? And it's about surrender and trusting Him. Can I be real for a moment? Paul talks about it. The Bible talks about it. There are some people that you cannot unite with. Lord says, what would a person who's dead have anything to do with a person that's alive? Unfortunately, there are many relationships that are together where we've got together and we're not equally yoked. The Bible talks about don't get together unless you're equally yoked. If you're a believer in Christ and you're not together with someone, find someone who's a Christian. It's too hard to work otherwise. Not just a Christian, but someone on the same page as you, running at the same speed as you, give or take a few miles per hour. Because if you're going to go for God, there's nothing that's going to corrupt you more than your company. I mean, watch out for this thing. And sometimes we've compromised too far and we said, well, you know, it'll all work out in the end. It doesn't. It works out where you put the effort in. The grass gets greener where you water it. You know what I'm saying? Dreams work out when you suffer and you die for them. I mean, when you go hard for something, then there's a chance it happens. When we sit and wait, well, then it's just a flip of a coin and that sounds like chance. And I'm not into chance, I'm into faith. Amen? And so we are the men and women of God and we seize it. And we look to Christ for our hope. And we look to Jesus for our unification. And we say to Jesus, I'm not sure how to do this, but just as the Lord said, just as Jesus said in the garden, not my will, Lord, but yours. Because in that moment, he was getting split in two by the weight and the power of sin, but the love of Christ, the love of God himself united Christ in the garden, and he was able to endure. I'm going to tell you that unity is going to involve endurance. It's going to involve resistance. It's going to involve suffering. It's going to involve lacking, doing without at times. It's going to involve being uncomfortable at times. It's going to make you have to forsake at times. It means you're going to have to give up at times, but make every effort for the sake of unity and the bonds of peace, because it is the way of the kingdom. Because a body divided against itself will always destroy. The moment that sin entered into the world, the moment that one decision was made in the Garden of Eden, it forever destroyed things until another Adam came, until a better man came in the form of Jesus, and he was able to turn it all around. But for thousands of years, it was destruction. And it's the same in families today. It's the same in churches today. One wee drop of disunity, one wee drop of just hurt and pain in the wrong sense can cause things to separate that it almost takes heaven and earth to bring them back together again. But if that's what it takes, that's what the Lord will do. Focus on Jesus. See, God's idea is about coming together and being one, a bit like marriage, eh? Come together, or a bit like when you become a new Christian in Christ, you come together as one, you're hidden in him. Can't see me anymore. I'm in Jesus. He covers my sins. His blood has washed me white as snow. You see, we are promised and designed to never be broken. Aren't you so glad that the Lord has a covenant with us and he never says, I'll never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Come on, this is the heart that we need to carry into every relationship. There is no exit strategy. This is not a business deal that I'm trying to get out with a few quid. This is not an exit strategy task. This is not about escape. This is about how do I get in more and more and more because I'm committed to you. And so where do we best see this? We see it in marriage. I'm committed in unity. And what happens is when we sacrifice, it leads to multiplication and it becomes normal. In marriage, we get new life because kids normally and naturally come. When we're in marriage, we get stronger even though we've given up our right for another. It's fundamental. It just becomes normal. I sacrifice me for them and they for me. And together in Christ, we did more things than we could have possibly imagined or think. You see, what looks like giving up becomes more and more and more. This is the pathway of unity. And then lastly, unity changes the world. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and this is kind of where we started, wasn't it, 3-4 weeks ago? In Acts chapter 2, near the end of the chapter, let me go right to the beginning of the chapter. It says this in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. They were just all together, It's just, and not just to gather. The Bible's very clear on this. They were all on one accord in one place. I mean, it's easier to be in the one place and not together. Look at family Christmases. You know, look at bosses and their employees. Look at churches. Come on, let's be real with ourselves. That means me and you. It's not some institution. It's not some big business thing. It's the people. But people can be together and not united. But when a people are together and united, oh my gosh, there's just something special. There's something significant about that. It's not easy. It's not going to happen all by itself. It's going to take fight. It's going to take determination. It's going to take commitment. But they were all together in one accord. In other words, they had done their work. They had done their work on themselves. It's so easy to go, I know what you need to work on. No. Come on, turn the mirror. I know what I need to work on, and I could use your help. That's vulnerability. That's courage. That's how we're going to change this world. But they're all together in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Wow. The minute they were together in one place, heaven moved. It was like, okay, this is what I was waiting for. The Lord was just like, I was just waiting for this one. And I'm going to move on this because I know how fleeting unity can be at times. I'm going to move on this one. And so it comes as a rushing mighty wind, the Holy Spirit moves. And it filled, the Holy Spirit filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wow. Wow. The Holy Spirit filled the whole house where they were sitting. There's something that unity does that nothing else can do. It commands blessing. It commands blessing. It allows the Lord to move because the Lord wants to move on things that are united. He does not want to work on things that are divided. Do you know what I'm saying about that? He wants his spirit to rest on what's united. And that's why as the men and women of God, we've got to fight for unity. He's created it. We've got to maintain it. We've got to keep it. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. And so why do we go for unity? It's too important to forget. It counts for too much. Counts for too much. When they were together, the Spirit moved. When they weren't together, the Spirit couldn't move. It's fundamental, a togetherness, a unity. As a church, if we're dreaming, and we are dreaming, come on, we're dreaming for buildings, we're dreaming for a city, we're dreaming for 15,000, we're dreaming for a nation. It's going to happen because of the sweetness of our unity. It's not going to happen because of how good our praise is. It's not going to happen because of how good our prayer or our worship is or Bible reading is. It'll happen because of our unity. And when our unity's there, all those other things just flow naturally. But unity is what we've got to fight for. We've got to fight for unity. And you can't fake it. You just can't. There's a sweetness to unity. There's a harmony in unity. There's a sound to unity. There's a feeling to unity. And if you come into an atmosphere where unity may be talked, but it's not true. You will feel it, you will see it, and the fruit will be evident all over. But when you come into an environment where there's no real talk of unity, but you just see this fruit, you feel the sweetness, you just feel the spirit in the room, you just see what's going on, you go, wow, there must be unity at the heart of this thing. So I say this, church, we are going to fight for unity, not at the expense of everyone because we cover it in love. But as Paul said, there may be some in our midst that cause division. Well, then we got to work hard on that. And as Paul said, sometimes we could even ask that person to go. And we've seen that over the years. That's not something we want to do, but the Lord removes. The Lord takes out. Sometimes division has to be cut out. I mean, it's just one of those things because the Lord says it's too important. If everybody else is united, then we got to cut that one out if they're not willing to change. It seems harsh, but the Lord says that the division is so deadly against unity. I've got to deal with it swiftly and quickly. So come on, we got to fight for unity. Here's Jesus' prayer in John 17:20. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That means me and you. I pray that they will be all one, just as you and I are one. He's speaking about himself and the Father. It says, you are me, Father, and I am in you, and that they may be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. You see, our unity is not just for our sake, but it's to represent Jesus. And the better that we represent Jesus in our unity, the more the Spirit can move and the more people's going to come to faith. It is that important, church. This is a big deal. He goes on to say in verse 23, may they experience such perfect unity. This is praying for us, him praying for us, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is a love thing. When we are united, the love of God begins to move through us. Come on, church, we are going to be united. And I want to finish with this. To be united, it's hard. Come on. We've all been through some things. We've all felt the sting of it. We've all felt the hurt of it when we were ignored. We've all felt the pain of being overlooked. We've maybe even been on the receiving end, the giving end of it, not just the receiving end of it. We know what damage that causes. It might have felt good for a moment, but you knew it wasn't healthy. You knew it wasn't good. But maybe for you, you're sitting there and you're struggling because of what once happened. And as a result, you're still hurting some other people. I want to encourage you, you need to look to Jesus. And you need to go get some help and deal with some of those issues, whether it be a counselor, prayer ministry, but you need something to help you to deal with it because it's not a good place to be. And it wrote down some things. I want you to think of the scenario just as we're finishing today. You come to a family and it's just full of bitterness. It riddles the family. It ruins the family. Come to a church family and there's suspicion and there's heartache and there's pain and there's anguish. I mean, you can sing all the songs you want. You can pray all you want to pray. But unless we deal with those issues, it just destroys the church. Destroys it. And I've seen it up close and personal. And it's horrible. And it causes people to leave. It causes people not only just to leave the body of Christ, but to leave the faith completely because they just can't stomach it. Because disunity in the body of Christ is the most deadly thing on the planet. Most deadly thing. Most deadly thing on the planet. Kills people, destroys relationship, pulls people away that should have never been pulled away. But anytime that bitterness is allowed to fester, jealousy, unforgiveness, grudges, it always brings division. And so, come on, I'm speaking to every person today. I know how hard it is to fight for unity. I'm sure all of us, to some degree, have felt the pain of it when it's come on our side. But guys, we have to fight for unity. It is the only hope that we have. It is the command of Him. It is our identity at the very heart because a house divided against itself can never stand. This is for you. It's for me. It's for Jesus. And He's coming back for a perfect bride without spot or wrinkle. And if we will fight for it, I know that the Lord will sustain us. He will change us. He will soothe us. He will sweeten us. He will help us. And His love will come and cover a multitude of sins. I want to pray today. I want to pray that if you don't know Jesus, you'd put your trust in Him. I want to pray that whatever has been before that's held you back, that it wouldn't hold you back any longer. And I want to pray that if you're a part of the body of Christ, but you're broken and hurt, that something today is going to happen and going to change, and you're going to allow it to happen. And that the love of Christ would just penetrate through some of that hardness, some of that rock, some of that protection, because it was protection. But it will penetrate through, and your life will never be the same again. And then for some of us that have not really thought about fighting for unity, we fight for our family. We've not really thought about fighting for unity when it comes to the body of Christ. The Lord's going to do something, and we're going to become those warriors that He has designed us to become, fighting for love, for grace, for mercy, fighting for unity. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I love You today. And I thank You, Jesus, for every person that's tuned in. I thank You for every person that's listening. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would just really do a work on us. Unity is too important to forget. Unity is too important to You. It caused heaven to move. It caused Jesus to come. It caused the cross to happen. It cost You, Jesus, Your life. Lord, I pray for unity in our body. I pray for unity in ourselves, unity with Christ. I pray for unity in our gatherings. But Lord, I pray for anyone that's not united with You yet, that's never given their life to You yet. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would say, Jesus, I need You. That right now, You would just go, Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I need You to deal with my sins. I need You to come and transform me. The Bible's really clear that if we would confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved, no longer divided, but united with Jesus. And so I pray right now for that to happen. And Lord, I pray for us as believers. Lord, do a deep work in our hearts. I think all of us maybe need to fight harder for unity. All of us have work to do because, Lord, You have called us to fight for unity. It's too important to neglect. Lord, I pray for an awakening. I pray for a love to rise. I pray for a grace to come. I pray for a harmony. I pray for a bearing with each other and a compensation for each other and a heart to say, I'm going after this thing because it's too important for me and it's too important for Jesus and it's too important for the body of Christ. Lord, ask us and call us to go for this. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, bless on every family, bless on every life. In Your beautiful name, amen.